This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Having a hard time getting the microphone on here. 7:14 now. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Jeff Palermo, our friend who is a WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. Let's talk. Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I am okay, sir. I'm a little tired because the dog was, I think, being trolled by the ghost of the previous dog last night and barked every 10 minutes at something. You ever wonder what these dogs have going on in their heads?
I don't know.
Seeing, what they're thinking, what they're doing.
My dog, he loves to dream, and he's like barking in his dream, or he's woofing, and it's just, what are you dreaming about?
Exactly. What are you? Then again, probably we're doing the same thing in our sleep, and they're looking at us saying, "Will you shut the hell up, please? I'm trying to sleep here." All right, let's talk about LSU baseball last night.
Man, what a performance by Cade Anderson. I don't know, we've seen some great ones as far as great pitching performances, but you might not see a game like that in a long time. You might not see it ever again. I mean, 135 pitches. When everyone starts freaking out after a pitcher gets over 100 pitches in a game, but as Coach Jay Johnson said, he was getting stronger, and he retired the last 12 hitters he faced. He struck out a career-high 14 hitters against a team that really doesn't strike out a ton, a team that likes to foul a lot of pitches off, work the counts, get on base, create havoc on the base pass. But Anderson only allowed the leadoff hitter aboard once in the game, and that was in the sixth inning. He got into a little trouble in the first inning, bases loaded with one out. Then pitching coach Nate Yeske goes out, has a conversation with him. He strikes out the next two hitters, and he's basically untouchable after that. And he went up against one of the best pitchers in college baseball and Kyson Witherspoon for Oklahoma, and Cade Anderson absolutely outdueled him in a magnificent performance to get LSU off to a great start in this series in Norman, Oklahoma.
The average, as I understand, between 90 and 100, 135, I thought was a mistake when I first heard it. I thought somebody was making a mistake. It's like, surely it cannot be 135. And the first thing they said was, "My name's not Shirley." And then secondly, they said, so what does that mean? Does that mean extra rest for him?
Well, it's a good question, Tommy. And I think one of the reasons why, there are a couple of reasons why Jay continued to go with Cade Anderson. He mentioned that he was getting stronger as the game went along. And if he did allow a base runner in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning last night, I think he was going to go to the bullpen at that point. But Anderson never allowed a base runner in the seventh, eighth, or ninth. He retired the final 12 guys that he faced. And then the other thing is, this is a Thursday-Friday series. Next week, LSU goes to Auburn, but the series starts on Friday. So Cade Anderson will have an extra day of rest before he pitches again. So I know that was in the back of Jay Johnson's mind last night.
Can you imagine what his arm must feel like after 100? Seriously.
Yeah, I know. But again, what Jay said, hey, this kid is well-conditioned. He was ready for it. It did help that you're pitching on a cooler night, right? I mean, pitchers can, especially once they get warmed up and in a good groove, on a chilly night like last night in Norman, Oklahoma, where the temperature was in the mid-50s. That benefits the pitcher. In fact, in the sixth inning, it looked like Anderson had given up a two-run homer, but the wind blew it foul. And that helped preserve the shutout and allowed Anderson to continue to motor along. So just a great outing. Yeah, and I'm sure next week we'll be watching to see, you know, how he does rebound next week against Auburn. But for right now, it's just one of the best pitching performances in LSU history.
You got a great story at WWL.com. I see 91 of those pitches were strikes. Yeah. What is Kate Anderson's go-to pitch? Is he throw smoke? Is he does he move the ball around all over the place? What does he do?
Yeah, he's got a fastball, you know, 92, 93 miles per hour, and that's the other thing. You never saw it really dip as far as the velocity goes. Mm. But then he throws four pitches, you know, the slider, the changeup. I mean, he's a four-pitch pitcher, and he is just a crafty guy. I shouldn't say more. He's a little more than crafty. I mean, I just think he's a good pitcher. Mm. I mean, what you've seen with a lot of LSU's young pitchers this season, they're good throwers. They're not good pitchers. Kate Anderson is a good pitcher. He knows how to locate the baseball. He knows how to – and granted, Nate Yeske's calling the pitches, so that helps a little bit. It's not like he's the one that's you know, deciding when to pitch or what pitch to throw and when. But he still has a great ability to be accurate with his pitches. And last week he hung a few breaking balls up in the zone and he gave up three home runs. This week, probably knowing that the conditions were not – really great to hit home runs in last night, and he wasn't really going up against a home run hitting team. I think he was a little more aggressive, and he went right after these guys. And the key was to keep Oklahoma off the base paths. Jay Johnson had said it multiple times this week. You got to get the first guy out in the inning because once they get the leadoff man on, they like to bunt, they like to steal, they want them to move the runners along. As I mentioned, they want to create havoc on the base paths, throw the pitcher's timing off, all that kind of stuff. But he only allowed the leadoff man aboard once in the game. So it took Oklahoma completely out of its game.
Tell me about the Oklahoma team. Where are they ranked?
Well, they're ranked number 10. I mean, this is a really good baseball team. And LSU faced its best pitcher last night.
You had ace against ace last night.
Yes, it was ace. It was really, I mean, you know, we'll see how Anderson finishes up this season. He is a draft-eligible sophomore. But you might have seen – you know, two pitchers last night throwing against each other that could be drafted in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft this summer, or, you know, at least relatively high. I think Witherspoon has certainly etched himself into that first round discussion. You know, Anderson, he puts together a few more great starts, and I think a lot of teams will be looking at him as a potential first rounder as well. So, you had two great pitchers. You got an Oklahoma team, as I mentioned, that just they're pesky. Over 70 stolen bases on the season. They got a lot of good arms that come out of the bullpen. But now, because Anderson went the distance, the advantage in this series really shifts to LSU because I think they have the better starting pitchers left. Anthony Ianson throwing today. Chase Shores on Saturday, and then LSU's two best arms out of the bullpen that have been nearly untouchable this season in Kaysen Evans and Zach Cowan. Are rested and ready to go. So if you need to go to them for three or four innings, either today or tomorrow, you got them. So now you're thinking you were hoping to win, obviously hoping to at least win one on the road when you go in SEC play. Now you're looking at you're in position to win the series victory or win the series, and then heck, if you win tonight, then you want to get greedy and win Saturday and get another sweep.
Let me take a break, Jeff. We'll pick it up here. We come back, 722. Traffic now, WWL. Hi, 726. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist and Louisiana Network News Director. He's got a great article posted at WWL.com about the game last night. Jeff, you know, real quick before we get to basketball, I've spoken to you a lot. I know you, and hearing your voice, I think your true passion may lie with LSU baseball. Does it or not?
Well, I love the sport of baseball. Yeah. I think it's...
And that's not to say you don't love basketball or football,
but
hearing a little something here that...
Well, and last night, as I mentioned, and I said in my article, you might not see a pitching performance like that again. Mm-hmm. For a pitcher to go out there and throw 135 pitches, I mean, that is... That's unreal. It in today's day and age of baseball, where just getting to the seventh inning is a huge accomplishment. for a guy to throw 135 pitches is something else. So as a sports fan, when there's 1,000 games on, right, and you watch hundreds of games a year, when you see something that you might not ever see again, you get a little excited about it.
Let's talk about Flauge Johnson and her decision and women's basketball, and then we'll talk to men about men's basketball and transfer portal.
Well, not a huge surprise that Flauge Johnson is apparently coming back. She really sounded in the locker room following the loss to UCLA on Sunday that she wanted to come back. She wants to win another championship. Of course, she was on that national championship team in her freshman season, but that was really Angel Reese, Alexis Morris's team. Flauge was a starter and obviously a huge contributor, but she can really cement her legacy as one of the greatest players in LSU athletic history if she can come back next season and win another national championship. And they certainly got to replace someone like Anissa Morrow, but you got the number one recruiting class in the country coming in, and you know Kim Mulkey's going to get some outstanding talent out of the transfer portal. So LSU will once again be in the conversation next year to win it all. And this is what we're also seeing in women's basketball. You know, we're in the in men's basketball, these guys, after the one season, boom, they're gone, they're off to the NBA. But in women's basketball, a lot of the big stars decide to come back because they are more marketable as a college basketball player than they are in the WNBA, like Lauren Betts, who LSU faced against last week in their top player from UCLA. She's coming back next season. Taniya Latson, who LSU faced when they played Florida State, she's coming back. Olivia Miles from Notre Dame, she's coming back. So a lot of these players would rather come back and, you know, NIL, they can benefit more in college than over in WNBA.
That's interesting, huh?
It is interesting.
The name, image, and likeness. You know what else I heard the other day, and I'm not going to name the source, but the other side of name, image, and likeness is that, in a way, as far as compensation goes, I guess, so I'm trying to say in my own clumsy way, some schools won't cut walk-ons because they want them to keep paying tuition. So they keep them on – you with me?
Well, we could talk a lot more about this as it goes along, but when the new rules go into place after the House settlement, walk-ons are no longer a thing. Walk-ons are done.
Okay.
Football roster is actually going to increase to 105, so you can give scholarship. It would go from 85 to 105 as far as the number of scholarship players you can have.
We'll talk about that at another moment. I think that could be the same in high school, too, where maybe they want to keep the kids on the team whether they play or not because they're paying tuition, and rather than have them go somewhere else, right?
Yeah, well, right. Yeah.
It's just interesting that when somebody told me that, I got to thinking about it. It's like, you know what, that does make sense. Hey, thank you, Jeff Palermo. Have a great weekend. Go Tigers.
All right, Tommy.
We'll take a break, come back, talk to Mark Rosa, help you manage your money with Mark, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Time now, WWL First News.